time that we can bring change in our community, we can live victoriously, and we can celebrate Him. So we're going to do that now as we welcome up our very own Prof. Stuart Semple as he continues our series of New Home, New Adventures.
Come on. Well, it's good to be here today. Different circumstances, new challenges, but I think we're up for it. As a church, we're up for it.
That's right.
I think the body of Christ is up for it.
Yes, come on.
And I'm excited, as Pastor Matt mentioned, I'm also excited about what we're moving into. The changes that have come upon us, and how quickly this has actually occurred, but I think there's opportunity therein. And before I get into the message, just very quickly, I want us to pray. And Lord, we thank you for this day today. We thank you, Father, that despite the challenges, we know that you're right here with us at the moment. We thank you for the blessings in our lives and the blessings that are to come. And as this message is delivered, we just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will impress upon people's hearts anything that you want them to learn, to hold on to. We declare right now that our minds and our hearts are open. Have your will with us right now, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, Stu, before you start,
yes.
I just wanted to have a chat with you. You know, when we start new things, I know that there are always new technical learnings. Do you know about new technical learnings?
Yeah, I'm technically challenged.
You're technically challenged?
Yes.
Okay, well, we have some great, exciting technical learnings that we're doing right now.
Brilliant.
And so we just want to take a pause for some of our friends and family who are online, because they're restarting and they're rejoining us. So
yep.
I thought that for guys in the room right now, we could.
Commitment I've seen from people in the face of what has been somewhat intimidating circumstances has been unbelievable. People are rallying, focusing on the positive by and large, and we're getting through this, and we're getting through it together.
One of the great things I've heard a few times this week has been the fact that we should rename the social distancing to physical distancing.
Yep.
And recall it social connectedness. And I love that that's what we're doing. As the church around the world, we're building platforms where people can feel connected and they belong.
Yep.
So I'm so excited that you get to share with us.
Absolutely.
About new homes and adventures. Homes.
Yep.
Look like all sorts of things, and adventures we have discovered look like all sorts of things. So I'm going to hand over to you, and thank
Brilliant.
You for sharing God's word with us.
That's Pastor Jill, thank you. Folks, have a seat at home. You're probably on the couch already, got your feet up, some coffee, relax, sit back. As I said, I'm excited about the message today, and the title of the message is Better Together. Better Together. Now, let me tell you something. There is no coincidence that the message is entitled Better Together.
Yeah.
Of all the titles today, we could have been speaking about mercy, grace, love, the Holy Spirit,
right.
But the title today is Better Together. And some of you are going, oh, that's a little ironic, given we aren't physically here together today. But of course, we're connecting via live stream and all the other fancy technology. But this topic, the heart of this message, was locked in before we knew what we were going to be doing today.
Yes.
So there's something in that, folks. This message, the title thereof, and the heart of the message was locked in before we knew that today we were going to be doing this service via live streaming.
Yes.
I think that God wants people to hear this specific message today. And I see my mission in the next 20 or 25 minutes to impress upon you, perhaps even convince you, that maybe, just maybe, we've lost sight of how important togetherness actually is.
Yeah,
how important unification is, and how important it should be in our lives today. And I'm talking, the message today is pitched both at the individual level, so your relationships with each other, your relationships in your family, your relationships in your community, the relationships in the church. So I'm talking all the way from individual level all the way up to the corporate level, to the collective body of Christ. Why is this message important for you today? It's important because I think we need to understand that we will never accomplish everything that we can in our lives. We will never live the most impactful lives that we can. We will never experience the most that God has got for us, the fullest of His blessings. We will never be the best that we can be. We will never be whole unless we embrace togetherness. Together with Him, and together with His people, know that we were called to love God, and we were called to love his people. There is only one thing that I want you to remember at the end of this message today, and that is we are better together. The only thing I want you to remember is that we are better together. Another way of looking at this is that we need to be unified. Unified means to bring together or to make whole. Now listen to this. Unity or unification brings joy to God. This is scriptural, folks. Unity or unification brings joy to God. And it does so because it reflects his character. It reflects his nature. It reflects God's passion. Unification brings joy to God. And we see this in Psalm 133. In Psalm 133, if we read it, goes, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity."
Yeah, so good.
When God's people live together in unity. And if we skip to the end of Psalm 133, it ends by saying this, "For the Lord, for there the Lord bestows his blessings." Yeah. I'm going to say this again because this is critical to get as we go through this message today. How good and how pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity, in harmony, in unification? It's in that space that it attracts God's blessing. If we are unified, it's going to attract God's blessing. You see, if as the church we are serious about the world, recognizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if we're serious about people coming to faith, if we're serious about people living an abundant life, if we are serious about seeing revival in the church, we will take togetherness, we will take unification seriously. We will put aside our differences, we will sacrifice. Our togetherness, our oneness can change families, it can change communities, it can change nations. I believe, and it's scriptural, it can change the world. Did you know that Jesus, before he was marched off to be crucified, was praying for togetherness? And he was praying that you would be one with the Father. Jesus, before he was marched off to be crucified, was praying that we would be one with the Father, that we would be unified. In John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23, it says the following. And the context here is Jesus had just prayed for himself, and then he had prayed for his disciples, and now he was praying for the believers. And so it starts off by saying, "I am praying not only for them," referring to the disciples, "but also for those who believe in me because of them and their witnesses about me." The goal, listen to this. This is Jesus praying about you. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind. I'll pause there for a moment. You know what the name of our church means? Fusion. Fusion means when you take two or more things that are separate and you pull them together so that they become one. I may be biased here, but I think Jesus was praying about Fusion City Church.
Come on.
Perhaps, just perhaps. So Jesus is saying, the goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind, just as you, Father, are me and I, you, so they might be one heart and one mind in us. And then listen to this. He's saying, then the world might believe. Folks, one heart, one mind. You see, what Jesus is saying here is he is saying when we are unified, then the world will start to believe. The world will start to believe. It doesn't say that you need to have the fancy lights and the best preachers and the greatest coffee. Look, you know, don't get me wrong. We have all of that at Fusion City Church. But that is not what grows a church. It's not the lights. It's not the person standing up here. It's not the coffee or the kids' ministry and the what have you. It says when we are unified with him and the church is unified, it attracts people. When the world looks around and it sees war and conflict and disunity and despair and chaos, when it sees panic, a unified body, a unified church becomes a powerful witness to the world. This is scriptural. When we are together, when we are unified, it becomes a powerful witness to the world. But of course, what this does, folks, is it stresses the important role that every single individual person has in the church. Because if collectively, as a body, we are a powerful witness to the world, and that brings people into the church, it means that individually, we all have a responsibility to pursue togetherness.
Yes. Yes.
We should all be looking to be unified and be coming together. You see, this is exactly what we see in the days of the early church. This is amazing. In Acts chapter 2, verses 43 to 47, and I'll read from verse 43. It says, everyone around was in awe. All of those wonders and signs done through the apostles, all the believers lived in a wonderful, they lived in wonderful harmony. They were united. They were together. They held everything in common. They sold whatever they owned. They pooled their resources. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. This is cool. People in general liked what they saw. And every day their numbers grew as God added those who were saved. Because the church was unified with him and with each other, because they remained connected and engaged and unified, the church started to grow. And it's amazing because when we look earlier in Acts, and this is Acts chapter 4, 32, we get a sense of what this was like. All the believers, this is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. You see the emphasis there again on the believers coming together, remaining connected, being engaged. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. And listen to this, because of that, with great power, the apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And because of that, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. There was no needy person amongst them. When I read that about the early church, this is how I sum it up. They lived in harmony. They lived together. They lived unified. They stayed connected and they stayed engaged with each other. They praised God. And because of this, God's grace was powerful amongst them. I think that word has been used intentionally there because we know that God is here and he's here right now. But sometimes people are querying, where's the power? We want to see God moving more. I get that. I want to see that. I want to see God moving more powerfully in our churches, in our families, in our communities, in our nations. I think the recipe is there. When the church is unified, when we come together, when we remain connected, God's grace moves powerfully. No one had need, and I think that's all encompassing. It's spiritual, emotional, materialistic, whatever you want. It's under that umbrella term. There was no need. And as a result, people were saved. They lived in harmony. God's grace was there powerfully. No one had any need, and the church grew. You know, this morning when I was giving thought to this, I know why. It was 5 minutes to five this morning when this thought popped into my head. And I started thinking about what are the roles, the responsibilities that we have individually in the church to get to this position where it starts to grow. Well, we know Jesus said that he will build his church. We know that. But we have an important, critical role to play in that. It's God's Spirit that unites us. And when there's that powerful grace, the church will start to grow. And when I was grappling with this morning, again, at 5 to 5, I was thinking all of a sudden about the Great Commission and going to the nations and making disciples, and then fishers of men. Are we fishers of people? If I had to ask you today, how many people in the last week, and I granted the circumstances have changed a little bit with physical distancing and social connectedness and all the rest, but in the last week, how intentional were you about fishing for people? I know there's some awkward silence at home, people watching this going, you know, if you're brutally honest, hand on heart, how intentional were you about fishing for people this week? And I think what Jesus wants people to know today is that if you're connected in the church, if you remain connected and you're engaged and we're unified and we're in harmony, it becomes a witness to the world and we start to reel people in. So you may be sitting at home or sitting here today going, but geez, I didn't do that and I feel a little guilty, a little convicted. If you're connected in the church and we're edified and we're unifying, the word says that we will start to bring people into the church. We cannot underestimate, you shouldn't underestimate the importance that remaining connected to the church can have for the body of Christ. Folks, I hope we're on the same page with this. Unification is what God wants. It's biblical. It brings him joy, and it attracts blessing. Unification is what he wants. It's biblical. It brings him joy and it attracts blessing. There is power in unity. There's power in staying connected. When I look at that early church, my summation is that those believers were functioning as a really effective team. They were functioning as an effective team. And it's interesting when you look at Google. Google, a number of years back, commissioned a research project to find out what does an effective team look like. And they called that research project Project Aristotle. Most of you would be familiar with the famous Aristotle quote that goes, "The whole is greater than the sum of its parts." And Google invested 2 years in this research project. And they looked at hundreds and hundreds of hours of interviews. They split their teams. They had 180 teams, and they divided them up into high-performing teams and teams that weren't performing that great. And they went through this extensive process, looking at composition, team dynamics, conducting hundreds of interviews, utilizing existing data that they had and data that they had collected previously around employee satisfaction and et cetera. And what they discovered was what really mattered was not so much about who was on the team. Okay? What they discovered when you're looking at how a team performs effectively was not so much about who was on the team. Let's think about that for a minute. You see, we don't get to choose who's on the team. We don't get to choose who's in the body of Christ. And thank goodness for that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if God said to us, "I'll leave that up to you folks"? We would form a committee, as we do, because we always form committees. And that would be called the Supreme Christian Selection Committee, the SCSC. But you can imagine, it would be, JD, sorry, you're a Rooster supporter, you're not welcome. Matt, you drive a Holden, sorry mate, there's no room for you. You can just imagine what it would be like. Thank goodness we don't get to choose the team. And you know, my dad, my old man used to say, "You can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your family." And thank goodness it's like that in the body of Christ. We don't get to choose who's in the family. Yeah? And when I come back to what Google found about effective teams, what they found that really mattered was less about who was on the team, but more about how the team functioned. More about how the team worked together. This is how we've got to view the body of Christ. It doesn't matter who's on our team. What matters is that the team is unified. That it's a safe place, that we work towards a common goal, that we recognize that every single individual person has an equally valuable part to play in advancing the kingdom. There is power in unity. You see, you can't walk out of church today or out of your home and say, "Yeah, the message was okay, and I agree in principle that togetherness, unity is important and it's good for the church, but it's not for me because I'm an introvert and I don't like connecting with people." But you see, we're not created like that. I'm not saying for some people it's easier or harder than others. I get that. For some people, it's very difficult to connect. But we are not created that way. God wants you to remain connected to Him, unified to Him, and unified to people in the church. And you know, when we are one body and one family, and we saw that in Acts, the scriptures that we just quoted. And I love how Jesus reaffirms this in the Lord's Prayer. We've all learned this. Some of us off by heart. When I was at school, when I was growing up, I didn't necessarily grow up being a Christian, but I went to a school where we recited the Lord's Prayer, and the whole, you know, 1,000 boys were saying, "Oh, Lord, Father," and we learned it automatically like this. But look at the message within this, how Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, it commences with "Our Father." There's a recognition there that this is us together as one, as a team. "Our Father." It goes on to say, "Give us today our daily bread." It says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us." You get the principle here. Jesus, when he was telling his disciples how to pray, he was saying, "I'm recognizing you as one body, as one team, as one family that is connected, that is unified. And when you're praying, it's fine to pray for yourself, but you're praying for the rest of the body. You're praying for the rest of the team, the rest of the members. You are praying as if you are unified and one family." I love the story, and we're all familiar with it in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, which illustrates the important principle of unity and connectedness and togetherness as well. It says in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, "Now the whole world had one language and common speech, and as the people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, 'Let's build a tower. Let's build a city and a tower that reaches into the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves.'" In verse 5 it says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And this is what the Lord said. He said, 'If as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them.'" If as one people, a unified people, a connected people, he's saying nothing is impossible. See, this is what needs to be brought to our attention here is even if the intention is wrongdoing or doesn't align with God, the principle is the same. There's power in unity. There's power in togetherness. And I think we can get excited about this because, well, if the Lord is saying that those that are doing evil, they're building a tower out of arrogance and out of pride and self-serving motives, how much more can we expect from God if we unite, if we remain together and connected, for him to change families, communities, and nations? There's power in remaining together, power in connectedness. Unification is what God wants. It's biblical. It brings him joy, and it attracts blessing. But as we know, true unity, true togetherness is not easy to achieve. Every single person here will be able to provide an example of how difficult this can be in your lives. Many of you would have experienced this today, getting ready, this new environment that we find ourselves in. Harmony, togetherness, connectedness can be difficult to achieve. It's often difficult to achieve because it takes commitment. It takes discipline, it takes sacrifice, and it takes sacrifice from all parties. This is the thing about remaining together and staying connected. It's a reciprocal arrangement that everyone has to contribute towards. Everyone in the church has to contribute and has to sacrifice. I think there are too many people today that are expecting others to make the sacrifice. You see, Jesus went to the cross so that we could be one. We read that in Acts. Jesus was crucified so that we could be unified. Jesus was crucified so that we could be unified. If ever there was an example to look at around how someone was sacrificing so that we could be one, it's the Father who sacrificed his Son. It's Jesus who sacrificed his own life so that we could be one with them. The expectation is that we remain connected, that we sacrifice. That takes commitment and it takes discipline. There is power in unity. Let me sum this up with a remarkably profound revelatory statement that will undoubtedly blow your socks off. And I'm pausing there intentionally because I'm going to get to that statement. But if I had to ask everyone here today and all of those listening at home, who wants to live a better life? Most people would say, yep, count me in. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're on the mountain or if you're in the valley. If I said to you, who wants to live a better life? You see, Scripture says very clearly that God wants you to live a better life. It doesn't matter whether you're in the valley at the moment or you're on the mountaintop. He can take you from one level to the next level. So I'm assuming that most people would say that they want to live a better life. Well, here's the profound, revelatory, changing the laws of the universe statement that will help us understand that. If you want to live a life that is better, you need to do it together. Now, some of you at home are going, well, that is ridiculously corny. And I agree somewhat, but you're not going to forget it. If you want to live a life that is better, you've got to do it together. You know, the enemy doesn't want us to remain united and connected and unified. We know this. When we read John chapter 10, verses 10, it says, "The enemy does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. If we look at that practically, If I had to come along to you and I had to steal your iPad from you, what would happen? You would be separated from your iPad. If you had to die, you would be separated from your iPad. If I had to drive my motor vehicle over your iPad and destroy it, you would be separated from your iPad. You see, the sole purpose, doesn't matter which version or translation that you read, the sole purpose of the enemy is to separate you. If it's to steal or to kill or destroy, the ultimate result is that you are separated. He wants you to be separated from God and separated from your people. And Paul urges the Romans to stay away from those that are causing division. We know very clearly in Romans chapter 16, verses 17, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division. Staying together, staying connected is so important. And he goes on to say, if there are obstacles or people that are conspiring to keep you away or divided, get away from them. He says, I urge you, keep away from them. What are the things in your life that are divisive? What are the things that are separating you or inhibiting or preventing you from remaining connected together with him and with the church? I think that the enemy, folks, today is looking to take advantage of the situation that we're in with coronavirus. The question is, will you let that happen? Or will you decide to press in, to remain connected, to remain together, and be prepared to for others? You see, unification is what God wants. It's biblical, it brings him joy, and it attracts blessing. So what does this mean practically for you today? Let me finish off with this. If you want to attract the blessing of God in your life, as it says in Psalm 133, if you want to live a life and a life in abundance, if you want to live a life that leaves a powerful legacy, you need to unite. You need to stay together. You need to connect. For those who don't know Jesus, that will mean today that you need to make a commitment to serving him. For others who know Jesus already, it means you need to get involved. You need to stay involved. You need to remain connected. We need to adopt the mindset that despite the volatility that's around us, you will be engaged in the church not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing to others. I feel strongly, folks, that this shift that we're feeling at the moment is an attempt to divide the church. We've seen today how important togetherness is, connectedness is. It's an opportunity for us to be the salt and the light, for us to demonstrate that our togetherness, our unity, the unity that is held together by his spirit, is more powerful than anything that the world can throw at us. We are better together. Can we pray? Lord, we thank you for this day today, Father. And as it's written in Proverbs, we declare right now, Father, that we will not lean on our own understanding, but we will trust in you. No matter what the circumstances are that people are facing, we declare right now that we trust you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you've given us a spirit of power and of love and not of fear or timidity. And we pray, Lord, as we navigate these challenging circumstances that we find ourselves in at the moment, that people will find you in those situations and those challenges. And that people will that already know you will get a stronger revelation of the love that you have for them. Ultimately, more people will be saved, and it'll be to the glory of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a great word. Let's put our hands together for Stu. Just an amazing, timely word, I think. And just want to thank you for the gift that he is. He is truly a gift to our church. And we're just so thankful that he was able to just bring such encouragement. I think that word is timely just because of the fact that in some ways we are distanced. And yet we're together. And that's the beauty of in Christ, we are together. And I don't know if you know Jesus, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, the best union that you could ever have, and Stuart spoke about that, is the union with him. You know, he made it possible to bridge a gap, a divide that our own sinfulness had created by going to the cross and paying the price for you and my sins. Paying the price that we couldn't do ourselves. And he did it because of his great love for us, for you. And when he went to that cross, It says that there was a temple, in the temple there was a curtain that divided the most holy place, which was said to kind of contain the very presence of God from the rest of the temple. Only the high priest was able to go in there once a year, no one else. And it says when Jesus died on that cross and breathed his last, it says that curtain tore from top to bottom. That's important because it speaks about how God made a plan. He made a way from heaven to earth so that we could actually have a relationship with him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, today you can be better together by joining your heart, your spirit with his. He's made the way for you. You don't have to go and do a whole lot of stuff first. You simply have to surrender and say, Jesus, I choose you. And so if that's you, if you're at home today, maybe this is your first time just joining in a church service. Or maybe you've been in church, but you know that you've been far off from God and you find yourself watching this live stream here today. Well, Jesus wants you to respond to him. And so I pray that right now, why don't you just close your eyes, bow your head wherever you are. Don't worry about whoever else is in the room. This is a moment between you and God. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and everyone that's watching this is going to pray this with me, because we want you to know that you're not alone. You're better together. And so pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I come to you this morning and I acknowledge my need for you. I've tried to live life on my own terms and it hasn't worked out. I know I need you. I thank you that I'm better with you than apart from you. That's what you created me for. And so today I say, I'm sorry, Lord. I surrender to you. I choose you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, then I want you to tell someone. Why don't you give us a wave on social media in the comments section. Just let us know that you've prayed that prayer. We would love to know, because we'd love to just get some resources to you if we can and help you on your journey. We know that God has an amazing plan for your life, and we can't wait just to meet with you, celebrate with you the goodness of God. I know that you are better together. We're better together because of the decision that you've made here today.